Welcome to the 9th episode of Double DM Podcast, where we today have our first mini-series, where we talk about ambience music. Today, we actually have another guest with us to talk about that more in depth. They will come on later, after we have gotten the recap out of the way. So, if you want to jump directly to that, skip ahead like 10 minutes or something. This is usually how long we take for this recap. But for now, Niels, how are you today?
I am totally fine. I finally finished my kitchen. It is nearly done. Just some minor interior stuff and the handles for the doors and the drawers. But overall, it's done. And it's looking gorgeous. I will post some pictures of that on our Instagram later this week.
You can also post them, send them to me, and I will post them on Twitter or something.
Yeah. We'll do that.
I have seen it. It's actually amazing what you have what kitchen you have now. It looks so good.
I love it. I love to cook.
Also, that your kitchen was more or less the reason why we had to record the 7th and 8th episode together and couldn't really do one last week.
Exactly. Episode.
At least not recorded.
How are you today?
I am perfect. Just to get fine.
Yeah.
I'm very good. It's been a hell of a busy week for me.
Why that?
But I'm finished for the week today, and it's Tuesday, so it's amazing.
That's
I have
good.
Free time again. I don't want to get into this too much, but I quickly would like to mention that Germany has again extended the lockdown period and changed a lot of stuff.
And I'm dreading the Easter weekend. It will be horrible because Thursday and Friday is closed. Saturday is open for at least for my work field.
It's open in a lot of Germany. Yeah. Opened on Saturdays.
But just the food supermarkets, nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Only and the essential ones.
Exactly. Then Sunday, Monday closed again. So Wednesday this week, next week will be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will storm the store. Same for Saturday.
They will also all storm it tomorrow.
They will storm it the whole damn week and the week after that and the week after that because people are stupid in general.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say we bought a lot of more stuff for this weekend because obviously stores are closed for several days extra.
That's normal. That's totally fine and normal, but please don't think the world is going to end just because the store is closed for 2 fucking days.
Yeah, some people are actually overdoing it so hard again. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it will only get worse.
But we should not talk about this a lot. So I have something very personal to talk about.
Oh, yeah, hit me.
Very personal in the sense that I am so hyped. So hyped. For the last episode of Attack on Titan that's gonna air the day this episode releases.
Oh boy.
Last episode of the final season, and oh my god.
I still have to watch the whole last season though, because I wanted to binge watch all of the episodes.
Oh, we have to do that together. I would be so down to do that together.
Sure. Anytime.
Amazing. It's amazing.
I just love the art style of Attack on Titan, to be honest.
I love it.
The
since
animation,
Attack on
though.
Titan, yeah. Since it started very early as a show, like 6-7 years ago already, the first season, or 8 even, it's quite, the art style reminds me of the of a little bit older animes for today days, they didn't change it much, but the animation, like the 3D animations of every Titan and every 3D maneuver gear scene is just amazing. Like, the frame rate, like they animated every single frame to its to perfection, and it's look it looks so good.
The what I actually like about the 3D CG on this anime is that it doesn't feel like 3D CG. That's a huge point in many animes, actually, that the 3D CG just feels out of place, but this doesn't. Same for, sorry, for example, for the Fate series, they did a similar thing, and for Demon Slayer. They blended the 3D animation perfectly well with the animation style of the anime.
Yeah, but it's so expensive to do that in most cases that many animes actually can't. But we're not here to talk about only anime, but I want to say Attack on Titan is my favorite anime because I've just binged like the first three seasons again before the fourth. Like, my brain decided on Saturday that it's a good decision to binge all of the three seasons more or less in one go completely.
Yeah, I feel you.
And now that it's the only anime I've watched in like 5 days, it's definitely my favorite anime right now. I would say that in general I have different favorite animes that are not, let's say, too mainstreamy, because I think there are animes that are better at Attack on Titan. But Attack on Titan has, in my opinion, one of the most amazing stories you can actually think of. Like, in the first season you don't really get much of it, but that's when you look at it from the perspective where we are now, it's normal because the characters don't know anything about the world, how it actually works. They don't know anything. So it's normal that the season and all the dialogue does not convey anything, any information to us, because nobody knows anything.
It's insanely good. And I love this anime as well.
Like, it's very good at foreshadowing. It's very good at actually keeping secrets that are not secrets anymore. I don't want to spoil anything, but if you rewatch the first season with like spoilers from the second and third, you can actually see that it was could have been obvious the whole time how it actually works.
But it's so subtle, but it isn't. It's insanely good. By the way, I looked up when the first season aired. It was 7th of April 2013. So eight years ago.
Okay, yeah. Fits. Yeah. Moving on from Attack on Titan, even if I don't want to, actually, is that I have two campaigns this week to run. One in which you play, which is on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm hyped for that.
And one which is on Sunday, which will be the bridge arc I have to play between the Horde of the Dragon Queen and Rise of Tiamat, because my players just finished Horde of the Dragon Queen, and I decided I want to have a big tournament in the middle where they can get allies and friends and all of that jazz to convey information into the world, while also finding new allies that getting new information and doing a whole bunch of stuff that ties everything back together before it all converging into very different trees again, and they have to fiddle them together at the end again when they need to fight Tiamat.
Yeah.
That's basically all that, But I have two campaigns, and I have, for that tournament, I have to do a lot, and I mean a fucking lot of prep. Because if it's just a tournament, it becomes very boring.
To prep all that social interactions during a tournament and make them feel convenient, fitting, and doing it at the right time without being... or without forcing them on the party, is difficult to handle.
You need to have a lot of stuff outside the tournament, so the players that are not partaking in the tournament because they didn't want to or have lost the match and are now dropped out, they need to do stuff as well. They can't just look at the other players while doing it. You need to have a lot of stuff. And it's a lot of stuff to prepare, and because I am a dumb fuck, I forgot that for like, or not, I pushed that away for like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Now I need to do the prep in 1 week. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff I still have to prep. But I finished a lot of the prep, like half the prep that I seriously definitely need to do. Like, I can think about this tournament goes 10 days. Like, the 6th or 7th day is probably the point where I'm gonna end definitely the first session if we have only one. Like, if they rush through it all, then, like, at day 6 or 7, I will just end the session there and do the next part in the next session. But for that, I still need to prep everything up to that point and everything that could happen in that instance.
Yeah, all these coulda, shoulda, woulda stuff during all these social interactions during a tournament or a big festival is insane.
Mm-hmm. Do they do this? Do they win? Do they not? How do they talk to that? And all that stuff. And I have the Witcher campaign you play in, which is very story focused. So I actually don't have to do a lot of prep for that. But I still want to make the ambience, like this episode is about, and music and all, feel very good. So I need to do a lot of prep that is more like passive prep.
Yeah, I actually missed the last few minutes of the last session.
Because of your kitchen?
Because of my fucking kitchen. So I will need a little heads up when we start, but...
It will be a recap.
Like I'm always hyped for that. I'm hyped for that. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. So, this is actually already... well, I want to talk about shortly again about the social media thing, because we are nearly at 700 followers with our account.
Damn.
And I am at... I think I'm at 1.3 already.
That's insane.
Which is amazing. I can't thank the people on the Hope Discord server enough, actually, the people I've met on Twitter.
Actually, we just surpassed the 700 followers on Twitter.
Whoop!
We are
whoop,
at whoop. 701 followers.
Whoop! Whoop!
And you are whoop. At 1.3k... 1.306... Okay. Congratulations.
Merriam music. That's amazing.
And one thing I want to shout out, I want to thank DM Doesn't Get a Cool Name or Hamilton from Dragon's Duel for the insanely nice review and shout out from him for our podcast.
He is an amazing guy.
Yeah.
One of the best. Like, I can say this, but he's one of the best entertainers I have actually ever, let's say, met, even though we haven't met in a physical sense, just I've talked a lot with him, chatted a lot. He's amazing. Just simply put, amazing. And the ideas in that head are amazing.
I enjoy his podcast as well. It's insanely funny.
It's so amazing.
And we should partake in that sometime.
We will get on organizing with him for a session for us, because I actually very much want to do that one, because I feel like it's one of the best podcasts that is not actual play out there.
Yeah,
like it's such a unique idea that I have never seen before. So obviously, like,
I want to do it.
It's so amazing and unique, and I love it.
Actually, I think the language challenges will be relatively hard for us.
Yeah, because
it's not our natural language, but we're in for the fun.
It's for fun.
That's all.
Yeah.
As long as we have a good time.
Some German challenges. You can probably do some German challenges for us or something.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, I think that's it for our recap today.
Yeah. We should get into the topic, right?
Yeah, into the discussion about music and ambience with our guest.
So, we are back now, and we would like to introduce our first guest that is not from our friend realm, actually. Eli, why don't you introduce yourself? Who are you? Where can you be found? Stuff like that.
Hi, my name is Eli Hauschel. I am an audio engineer and editor recordist for film and TV, but I'm also a tabletop role player. I'm one of seven friends that make up Mayday Roleplay. We are a playcast podcast, as well as streaming. So you can find us pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts, as well as Twitch. We have a couple of shows that we're running weekly. We have a Delta Green campaign that we've just completed, that we started in October, and we're currently releasing episodes for our D&D campaign, Ashoka Precious Cargo. So that's pretty much where we are at Mayday.
I have awesome. Listened to the first episode of Ashoka Precious Cargo today. Not all of it, but the first hour or so, because time, because scheduling and problems and all that. But I just would like to say, this is your campaign. You are the DM for that, right?
Yes, I am the DM for that campaign.
But definitely for me, I already love it. I will definitely listen to everything about
Thank
it.
Thank you, man.
I loved it. I loved it, really.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I will definitely give it a listen as well.
Yeah.
But I haven't got the time yet.
Yeah, and if you guys are also into like horror and stuff like that, our Delta Green campaign is also a really, really awesome campaign that we're running. Sergio, who plays Rad the Sea Turtle in my campaign, is the DM for that. So we all play as DMs throughout Mayday. So it's really awesome.
Just got tight. Better. I love horror stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll definitely love that.
So, should we get into the topic?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
So, Eli, what do you do, or when you do tabletop RPGs, how do you use music or sounds, and which way do you make them, or weave them into your stories?
I definitely love like using music. I mean, I make a career out of using sound and ambience when I work in film and TV. But you know, music and ambience and sound effects, they're just really kind of like seasonings for your tabletop role playing experience. You know, it's meant to kind of like help push tone and drive what your players and what you're doing at the table. You know, kind of adds emotional depth. You know, it's supposed to just kind of allow you to immerse yourself in the world that you're all collectively building together. So it's definitely a really great tool at the table or even alongside a playcast to kind of just help you and your audience connect with a story.
I think especially for a podcast where you don't have any visual aid, music plays a big role in it.
Exactly.
Immersing yourself into the story.
Yeah, it's definitely a way for us to connect.
Do you have any tips how to control your music while you're playing?
I mean, it's where you're kind of comfortable using stuff. I personally use Spotify or like Sirenscape. I also use this awesome website called Tabletop Audio, which they make ambient loops for you for like a bunch of different stuff from space ships all the way to jungles stuff. Really awesome stuff. I pretty much use it off a laptop when I'm playing like in person. So it's a laptop connected to like a TV or a monitor, and then I'm just slowly fading things out, adding things in. If something starts to get more like tense or dramatic, I might start switching the music into something a little bit more like droney and like horror-esque, and like, you know, putting you a little bit on the edge. Like during combat, I'll put like a nice little upbeat tone to kind of just make you feel like you're in the moment and you're getting excited for those kinds of things. But it's all pretty much by hand as I try. So it's me managing all the stuff that you need to do DM wise, but then also trying to just add that little bit in when I can. So sometimes I might have to, it might be like not exactly when I'm starting, but like slowly pushing it in as everybody's unfolding the story.
Awesome. One thing Emil and I wondered actually is, as a sound engineer or audio engineer, you obviously have a lot of stuff to do with audio and music. Do you make your own music bits for your role-playing games?
I don't personally. That I am not much of a music composer or a scorer, but for what we do at Mayday, we actually have somebody who is doing music for us. So one of our players, Aaron, he's made several of our music stuff. Our theme music is all done by him. He gets to play around and make a couple pieces that we get to incorporate in there as well. So I do get an opportunity to work with somebody to make our own music, especially for what we're doing for our podcast. Yeah.
Very nice.
I wanted to say something, because you talked about combat music already, so I wanted to delve deeper in that, because combat music for me is very special. It could be that I have a very combat-heavy group. I have players that love combat and love to strategically find the best way to kill an enemy and play around it in any way. And so what I do is I have very different styles of combat music. Like, I have a very chaotic... I have a playlist of very chaotic music when players get surprised or ambushed at night. I have a more tactical, if it's more like maybe for a siege or something, if they have to control units and all that. And I think music is... because you can control a little, the background theme, because music is just the background theme. For example, in video games or movies, and that is also applicable to tabletop RPGs. If your players, they somewhat take the tone you want to set with the music into their playstyle a little bit, because I have realized if I put chaotic music on, they tend to be a bit more chaotic in their playstyle or also. And if I put the tactic music on, they also seem to be a little bit more tactical and try to find, because they have gotten into, like, I've programmed them in their brains to more or less play how this combat is supposed to be played with the music. This is why music is so important to me in TTRPGs, because I think it's the best way a DM can passively do something, because a DM can do hand gestures, accents, voices, motions, and all that, but you can also control music on a laptop nearby that just plays in the background for you while you don't even have to really control it anymore, and just have it on and let the music sometimes take over, but you can do everything a DM can do also with music in the background without it having to be controlled by you.
Yeah, totally.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that totally. Yeah, and having those moments, like even saying that, like you have music for tactical moments and music when things get more chaotic. That's actually really good things to have when you're doing combat, because combat's not always just like that heavy like drum beat that you're just steady pacing through. Sometimes like in combat you take a breath and you're like, you know, resizing up the enemy and stuff like that. You don't want to have that constantly going, because even ear fatigue is definitely a thing that can happen, especially when you're playing for long extended times. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm definitely wiped out by the time I'm done playing a D&D session or something like that by the end of it, because I've just put out everything I can. And you know, combat music can also like add to that fatigue, because if you're just constantly making somebody's heart rate accelerate, you know, they're not necessarily it's not necessarily going with the pacing of what combat is. So it's really great that you see those moments and you're able to kind of work that in to slow things down or pick things up when it's more appropriate for storytelling, and that only helps your table as well.
Niels, I wanted to ask you something right now, because Elaine, I talked about why we love music, so is there anything you want to add to that, actually? Is there any reason why you use music or how you use music at your tables?
There's nothing really much to add in terms of why I use music. What I sometimes like to do, if it fits the narrative, it's really situational, is when I have music piece that I found online that would fit a story point during, for example, combat, I like to switch to that specific music piece I found during the combat to get the players a little more invested in the story which is happening in the combat section. But it's really situational. For example, if the big bad turn there's this story turning point during the combat, I like to switch to a different kind of song or beat I found online to further enhance the feeling of importance for that moment sometimes, but really situational stuff. But Other than that, nothing more, actually.
There's also something that I also use music for that's kind of also, it's a part of the table, but not necessarily like used at the table. When I'm doing like character creation, I like to use music as a way to kind of like help me shape and build my character, or at least understand its tone and feeling. A lot of us at Mayday, we like to build our own little character playlist, which is helpful for me when I sit down and start to edit the final product and stuff like that. Understanding all of our characters, the tonality, the style that they want to bring helps me pick music that music that kind of fits those characters better. So when I'm going through music selection for editorial, I'd be like, oh yeah, our one of our characters more of this like folksy blues character. I'll go try to find more music that kind of fits him and try to see if we can find styles that kind of meld together between characters to kind of give more of emotional feeling and drive, especially in a final product for a podcast situation.
It kind of makes something like a character theme kind of stuff for music, music wise.
Oh yeah, definitely.
For example, if you hear some certain type of music genre, you immediately then think of that character that usually uses this type of music.
Yeah, totally. I have a character in our Delta Green campaign, Boomer, and a lot of her music's more hip hop based because she's kind of very edgy, techie kind of person. So every time she goes into a speech about all of this tech that she has to, we'll slowly bring in more hip hop tones or stuff. Or if she's like taking over the scene and stuff like that, that's where we'll start adding those elements back in to kind of, you know, get the feeling you recognize those characters, and then you people can identify those characters throughout the story, you know, without even thinking about it. You know, it's in the background and they're just like, oh yeah, Boomer might be coming into the scene because now I'm starting to hear these like hip-hop elements and et cetera and stuff like that. So music can be really, really playful when you want to connect characters and themes and ideas and be a little bit more abstract with it.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to first of all ask a question for you. Sure. How often has your DM said "Okay, Boomer"?
Said "Okay, Boomer"?
Yes.
now I'm trying to think about it. He had to have said it a couple of times. It's been a few months since we've since we played, but definitely.
I just had to make that joke. But also, because you talked about music making characters for you, it also goes for making campaigns. For me, at least, I have listened to a lot of great music and always thought, okay, this would, like, if I'm hearing a good theme, mm-hmm. or a good song, I think about, okay, maybe this could actually become a campaign. I have prepped, or at least done the general prep for two campaigns, which are actually just inspired by two different songs, but I can't talk about them because my players are listening to this and I don't want them to get the general premise of my campaigns. But one is a little bit more like a horror theme, mm-hmm. so it's a horror campaign, and it inspired me because it basically was someone singing lyrics, and the lyrics were a lot about being left behind and being dismissed as a failure and all that, and I've made a campaign out of that because someone feels left out and is dismissed and becomes the BBEG because of that, and...
Yeah, hell yeah, that's really cool. I haven't had a chance to like take a song and go that far and build a whole campaign based off of it. That's a really interesting idea. I've only used music to just like accompany and just get the full, in the same way that I do characters and stuff. That's really cool.
I actually did something similar for a Shadowrun campaign I ran. I heard this awesome techy, jazzy vibe kind of music score online, and I immediately thought of a scene around it for the meeting with the employer, and built the whole scene and the employer around that music piece I found.
And then the DM mind took place and said, okay, let's make another scene this and another scene there. And build 5 sessions in advance. Never have done that, by the way.
We'll be overthrown.
Yeah, so, Eli, a big part of music for tabletop RPGs is obviously what kind of music you can use and what you really can't. Do you have anything about that? Is there any music you would never advise someone to use?
You know, I don't think there's a right, necessarily a right or wrong when it comes to like music choices in terms of like genre and stuff like that. I think you should always play around with that kind of stuff depending on what your campaign is, you know. But, you know, when I look for music, I typically don't go with anything with lyrics. I don't want to distract people with lyrics unless the lyrics are important and you're integrating it in a way that gives it space for people to actually listen to. But when you're like talking with lyrics playing in the background, for me, it's distracting. I don't like to do that. But you should always try to pick music that isn't going to pull you away, pull your attention away from it, and then start focusing on the music itself. You don't want to draw your audience or your storytellers away from it. So people are like, that's a really great song. You know, you're taking people out of the moment. Or if it's just the wrong tone, you don't want a sillier tone of music in a most like serious moment when like two people are having a heart to heart conversation. You know, you want to just make sure that you're picking music that is again, accompanying and like seasoning and just making that moment special. Or the best it possibly can be.
Yes, I definitely totally agree with the lyrics part. I've had 2 songs I used as ambience, which or as background music, which actually had lyrics, but it were very light lyrics, like only a sentence or two, which were just spoken or not really loud on the song, just more or less background for the song. So that worked, but yeah, if anything has lyrics, it's just a place where your players can draw their attention to and then not to your story or you or the combat on the battle map or anything that draws attention away is not necessarily always bad for you, but it's definitely not helpful if you have anything drawing attention except yourself and the game.
Exactly. And that's the same thing for like ambience and sound effects. If you're picking things that don't match what's going on and stuff, that also can take people out of the moment. If you're hearing crowds in a place that's supposed to be quiet and secluded or like in a jungle or something like that, people are going to be questioning what they're hearing or what they're listening to. And sometimes even for me, like as much as I would like to do like sound effects for spells and actions, sometimes I don't like to incorporate that in when I'm at the table. Definitely in post-production when I'm editing as a podcast down, I'll add those kind of stuff. But sometimes I think doing spell work or that kind of stuff can be a little distracting sometimes, depending on who I have at my table.
Yes, I have, as I already said, listened to the first episode of Ashoka Precious Cargo, or at least a little bit about it, and there are sound effects in that. Were they edited in afterwards, or while you guys were playing?
Edited afterwards. That's me sitting down and layering in a bunch of different things to build up a whole soundscape. So I build soundscapes in post, but I rarely I use general soundscapes in the background when we're recording. We haven't really been able to do it kind of with virtual tabletop. I haven't found a good system while we're recording podcasts to do that. We were successful in Mayday got to play with another group of awesome podcasters, Black Project Gaming, and Vince was able to find a way for us to listen to music while we're recording. But I find it hard we have found it hard to make that work for us. But hopefully soon, I would love to bring music to the table while we're recording. I think that's an awesome thing to help help us along.
Yeah. Yeah, for example, your podcast with Mayday Roleplay. Like, I've listened to this episode and I was for the whole time amazed with the quality of your audios and how it's all put together. And I have to compliment you on that, or at least you and all your players, because it's amazing how it all is put together, how you all sound, and it's all amazing. And I think especially for podcasts, it's very important to have good soundscape and a good audio, because you don't have any visual aids. Mm-hmm. So you can't say we have good cameras, because they don't matter in any way to a podcast. So there are a lot of podcasts out there that I love simply. Well, first of all, because their audio quality was so great that I actually wanted to listen to it further. And then the story took me in and kept me there. But when the audio is great, I'm very much more likely to listen to it. So, which is, well, you can always say, like, when I want to say this can be advice, because I don't want to say you have to have good audio to be successful as a podcast or something. It's definitely good when you don't, when your listeners don't have bleeding ears after the session mm-hmm. is finished. So yeah, as advice for anyone who's maybe wanting to start a podcast, it's probably from me, at least, have at least decent audio, but also if you can't, for example, because of money, get good microphones or good editing, mm-hmm. just focus on your story. Right.
Yeah, it's nice that we're able to do that. I mean, Mayday's goal, we're all members that have hands in the film and television industry, so we wanted to bring the cinematic quality to our podcast, and we're achieving that because that's our goals and stuff. But if you're starting out as a podcast, you know, it really comes down to, yes, good storytelling, and as little as just making sure you sound clear and effective, you know. As long as your dialogue is clear enough, unintelligible enough, and isn't like blasting in your ears while you're listening, you're definitely going to have people willing to sit there and listen to you. And you don't have to have have anything super fancy. You know, you can eventually work to that, you know, but if it's nothing to be intimidated by, seeing what other people are doing, as long as, you know, as long as your story is good, as long as you sound good and people can hear you, you're on your path to making a good podcast.
Nice. I want to direct this next question at Niels.
Boy.
Yes. Yeah. Where do you take most of your music that you use for your sessions from? Is it video games, music, films or TV series?
Most of it is actually ambient sounds, like forest sounds, city sounds, something like that. But for example, especially the combat music is often from video games, because they are really upbeat, high tempo, stuff like that, to get you into the feel of something important, life-threatening maybe even. For example, the Witcher 3 soundtrack, the combat music from that I use a lot for my D&D combat, because it has some, they're not just drums and stuff, but some sort of beautiful melody which still keeps the importance of the moment for at least in my opinion, and that's something I like to use.
Yeah, for example, because I DM a Witcher campaign, I said to myself, okay, I will only use Witcher music for that, because all my players, like you, Niels is one of them, and two other friends, they have all played Witcher, or at least watched playthroughs of it, mm-hmm. so they all know the music, so if I use music from the game, it gets all of them into the right mindset for a Witcher campaign, because they connect the gameplay or the game they have played and they have seen to that music, and can easily get into the mindset of that world, because Witcher is sometimes a very bloody but also very beautiful world. So I wanted to get them all into the right mindset for it. So I used the music from the games and additional music I found, which is composed for Witcher, for the universe.
And I have to say, for what we played, it worked. Yeah. At least from my point of view. So, all good.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, same question, obviously, to you, Eli. Where do you get most of your ambience or music or sounds?
For music, I tend to look towards more of film and television. I look for like nice long pieces of kind of moving and shifting music, because that's I do also occasionally pull from video games. I'm not a huge video game person, so I can't name you the video games, but I know that they're from video games. But in terms of ambience and sound effects and stuff, I go out and I also collect my own sound effects, just because of that's what I have to do for a living. So I do have some things that I use on my own. A lot of the ambient stuff that you've heard in Ashoka were ambience tracks that I was able to perquire through the internet to kind of give that really big festival sound of just multiple things going on at the same time. Pretty much throughout the... Just wherever I can go on the internet, sometimes I'll spend hours Googling stuff, looking for a specific sound or a tone. YouTube's really great with having like some rainscapes and simpler stuff. If I'm in a bind and I don't have a lot of time to prep, I can just always type in something on YouTube and find something quick and easy. So depends on what I'm doing and what I have time for and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, I know that feeling of just Googling for hours. Like, there was this time, like, I think 2 weeks ago, I had a campaign where my players had to trek through an ice tundra.
Ooh.
I needed music for that. That gets this. You're in a blizzard. You're cold. And like, there could be a monster like 5 feet next to you, and you don't see it. You don't even see it. That kind of vibe, and I was like searching for 2 hours, like at 11:00 p.m. and on the web, and finally found something that was remotely what I was looking for, and just used it because I wanted to go to sleep finally.
Yeah.
Before I have to DM it in the morning, but it turned out great because I took the time and really want, and like I'm a perfectionist when it comes to something like this, because I was like, no, I don't like that note. Next try, next search.
Yeah, so it was a little thing. It's like, man, I just don't like how that string just played through there, just changed it. Yeah, no, I've been down holes before. It's just like, wow, nothing works. Nothing works. Throw a song here, throw a song there.
Yeah, it's all because you have that one perfect scene in your mind.
Yeah.
And you want to use the music that perfectly moderates the whole thing with you together. And if you don't find that one, it's just so frustrating.
Exactly. Yeah.
And your players don't even have that vision. For them, it's totally fine having what for you is subpar. For them, it's totally fine because they don't know what you actually had in mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're over there loving it, and you're over there like stressing out whether or not this is gonna this is gonna work or not.
Yeah. One thing I like to use if I am in a pickle during a session and I need some ambience music, on Spotify the sleep category has some nice soundscapes actually for forests or ocean sounds that I like to use if I have to get something which I haven't prepared because I didn't anticipate where the players would go. But yeah, sometimes most of the time it fits, but if you have to DM something that you didn't really anticipate, you don't have a clear picture in your head either way, so I think it's fine.
Yeah, totally. I have also been down a hole of, like, my players have tracked completely different direction I was actually planning to, and I was like, okay, I need to find music for when they enter this town, and quickly search where they were talking about what they were gonna do in town, like go shopping or talk to some kind of get to the market, ask questions. I was like, okay, music for the market, okay, I can find that in 5 minutes. It was really, really true. Where they were just playing, I was like frantically typing it on my keyboard, like market music, market music. Ah, perfect. And copied it over instantly, and they didn't even know a thing, but I was like, oh, crisis averted.
Yeah, the whole stressing out part is a huge point in music and tabletops, actually. At least for me. Trying to find the perfect thing you wanted and not finding it in the moment you need is...
It's a struggle. No. Or putting on the wrong song. I've put on the wrong song. Like frantically finding something. And it's like, man, yeah, like same thing. Like I need to find a market and I need a market. It's like, oh, that's not quite the market I wanted. And it's like too happy of it. And they're like walking into like a somber town. And it's like too jovial of a music. I'm like, damn. Trying to switch it out. Trying to make it. Try to pretend that it was there all along.
I mean, I've never used music where a sudden radio chatter came in a fantasy setting. Never done that. No. it was very ambient scene. I was like, yeah, this fits. And then at one point, like it was just this radio chatter from like a police scan, and I was like, what the hell?
It's all planned. You just
was there all along.
It's all planned. Yeah.
So yeah, we also wanted to talk a little bit about ambience, which is not exactly the same thing as music.
No.
What is, in your guys' opinion, the best way to establish ambience, and if it would be music, what is it after music? If that question makes sense.
I mean for me, ambience, I use ambience as terms of like world building and worldscaping. I just want my players to know what this town sounds like, you know, what. And, you know, because places sound differently, and it's just like a little bit of like the minutiae of things. You know, coastal towns sound a lot different than towns in the mountains. You know, a town that might be dealing with like poverty and stuff like that is a lot better than sounds a lot different than a town who's doing quite well and everybody's being cared for and taken care of and stuff like that. So it's picking the right layers and bits and stuff. I'm a stickler for layers. I like multiple things, because when you add layers of different sound effects, you know, it's not just like the sound of a crowd, it's also the sounds of like carts and animals moving, it's the sounds of the wind blowing above you, it's the sound of like a bard playing music in the distance, you know. It's adding these little bits of pieces just makes your players feel like, oh wow, I'm really standing in a marketplace and there's a lot of different things going on. And the sky's the limit. I can go anywhere in this market and maybe I can find something cool, or I'll find the next point in my quest. And, you know, it gets them excited to like help the visuals in their brain just kind of, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bridge that gap and stuff, Adam. Work.
Yeah, yeah. Helping immerse players into the spot you're trying to create with your verbal description of it, just using that blowing or whistling wind, the horses, the clapping of the horse hooves or the moving carts and stuff, just helps immerse the players and imagine it way better than just telling them.
Yeah.
Because you just don't speak to one sense. You just you approach multiple senses at one time. If you describe what they see and then they hear the same stuff, it just makes them think of it that much faster and better to immerse themselves into that.
Totally.
Exactly. I lost my train of thought again. This happens too often for me in one day now.
I feel you.
Need to think. This is very unprofessional for me. I actually don't know what I wanted to ask you guys. Damn it. Ah!
Well, I mean, talking about ambience and stuff like that, you know, what do you guys prefer? Like, what are some of your favorite ambience scapes that you like to use in your games? I know one of you mentioned you're doing a Witcher campaign, but for your other campaigns, what are some of the things that you like to use?
Well, for me, for example, they are in a kingdom right now, which is very much like, for example, Germany. So I use German folk music or anything that is along the lines of that for establishing ambience, because I think music shows also great way of a geographic location, mm-hmm. because music around all the places of the world is different, and you can establish a lot of feeling and ambience through using music from our world that is similar to that tone you want to establish. And then, for example, if we take this example of Germany, because I'm German and I use music from us, I can also try to get sound effects in that try to get the feeling of a German market. So maybe even Germans, like if there are distant voices screaming, they could be German instead of American or English, mm-hmm. because they should sound German at least to them. Yeah, that's because what I like to use ambience for and sound effects is to also show a little bit of geographic location, mm-hmm. to trick their brains into thinking, okay, this music is connected to that place. And if they visit another place, which is, for example, the kingdom right below that, which is more like Italy or Greece or Spain, the music comes more from the middle sea.
Nice.
Instead of the German regions, France or Poland. And yeah. So music also gives a great way to, for me, to make this geographic location thing, to get my players connect music to one place, and when they hear the music again, think back of that place they know they are in the place.
Yeah.
Also, if I connect certain themes to certain people, so the queen of that kingdom is a very important character. And she has her own ambient sound that more or less follows her around, you could say. So every time my players hear that sound, they know more or less to connect it with her. So if they get a letter from her, I will put up that music just so they actually connect it to her.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great that you think about sound and music in also in terms of geographical location, because that's also important to flesh out and make your world seem more believable and real. What I like to do on top, like the ambience tracks that I built, those are, you know, stock stuff that I've been able to get, but I've gone even step further and had people like record dialogue and lines. Just wild random off lines of like, pretend to be a fisherman in the market, you know, what would you be doing, you know, pretend to be a baker in the food courts areas, you know, trying to sell bread, you know, adding those little bits of pieces as you're and like do it in different languages as well. I had some people speak in different languages, or I went and found sound bites of people talking in different languages, just for this particular island that we're on in Tengu Atoll. It's an eclectic place where people from all corners of the world have come to kind of have this festival. So I wanted to have this feel of just multicultural people, different songs from different regions coming together and kind of sparse and being played throughout this stuff. So as our players are walking through it, you know, they feel completely immersed in this chaotic yet jovial place. So it's really great that you also think about that and in terms of your campaign as well.
I think music in general is for when you think about human history or at least our world history, music was always kind of there, because we used music to like music goes back to times when people just were hitting skulls with bones and making sounds out of that, and then it became drums, it became more instruments. So music kind of is a big way of seeing how actually cultures also developed. Mm-hmm. So also having music that, because for one of my campaigns, which is very more like Eberron or like a sci-fi fantasy setting, mm-hmm. Like the steampunk fantasy setting, they have radios, so they would have music which was more or less developed for radios or to be played in radio stations and broadcasted across the whole country.
How?
Because if that technology is there, you will use it. And this is because music was always there for humans. It's very much a good indication of how the culture of that place or the humans in that place or the people in that place, because in fantasy or in TTRPGs, it's not always humans. Mm-hmm. How those cultures or social constructs developed over time.
Yeah, that's great that you say that Eberron campaign, because I have working on a project that was set in Eberron where we were incorporating radio as well. So it was when I was looking in terms of like sound design and stuff like that, I was looking at like, you know, the steampunk industrial-ish kind of area, but also mixing in with like high fantasy. So I was looking for really great and I found some really great pieces that were treading the line between just nice, beautiful orchestral pieces and that 1920s noir feel, and just kind of interjecting that into I believe the city was Sharn, and just that's what Sharn sounds like. Sharn is the mixture of this like 1920s noir city mixed in with like, you know, the wonderful whimsicalness of high fantasy. And that's just super cool. And that's what music can give you, an opportunity to play with really awesome different genres and come out with something really super creative.
Yeah. I think having great soundtrack, if you want to say it like that, in your campaign or your play session makes it that much more memorable, mm-hmm. actually. Because you connect the actions you as a player did to a certain kind of sound or music or even a whole song, which every time you hear that song again or that music piece, you just instantly remember that thing you did as a group or the failure that happened during that or something like that. It just burns it into your mind sometimes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, music is a great connector in our brains. I have learned that, which is actually the reason why I stopped using music when I, for example, learn for my exams at university.
Mm.
Because if I don't have the music on, I don't remember stuff anymore. So I just turn it off. But yeah, music is a great connector to memories to in our brain. So yeah, music using, like I already said, for themes, like Eli said, for the campaigns, for certain things, for people, places, if you have music that you connect to that place, you will instantly remember, because your brain just starts ticking that way. Mm-hmm. Like it just thinks instantly of that place because you've connected the music to the place.
Well, we also as human beings, we're so interconnected with our visual and our auditorial senses and stuff, and in our society, you know, because we watch so much TV and film and podcasts and we're just constantly consuming media and stuff like that, we all have a language in how we connect sound and visuals. So so that's why when you use horror tones, people can start to feel more anxious and stuff like that. Or, you know, when you're putting on a happier song, people can tend to relax and feel safe. And that's how you can, you know, and that's how people play with sound and how you can really mess with people's emotions on the same time. And that's why, you know, that just helps us in tabletop role playing, you know, because we're using languages that we're all cognitively just familiar with and just working with that to just continue to build and make our stories.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. I think we should wrap this somewhat up, sure. At least. So any last advice you would want to give to people when they think about how to incorporate music or sound effects in their games?
You know, just experiment, try things out that works, you know, just take a moment while you're, especially if you're a DM, and you're looking at what you're trying to accomplish with your players and the tone and your feeling and how you want to express the story. You know, think about what you're doing and listen to, take time, like we've said, to take time to listen, try to find things that work for you, and, you know, just go and do it. You know, you won't get better at how to utilize music and sound in your games unless you try it and you fail and you work towards developing your style and what works for you. So just go out and do it. and have fun.
Those are the basically best advice we always give. Always do your thing and have the most fun doing it. It's the most important thing, to have fun. We all do this for fun, and if we don't have fun,
have fun doing it, just don't
do it. Exactly. If you're,
then you are doing it wrong.
Exactly. If you're,
no matter how people tell you to do it, if you don't have fun doing it, do it the way you have fun. And all is good.
Exactly.
So, Eli, where can people find you on social media, and where can they find Mayday Roleplay on social media, or any other links you want to shout out? Now's your time.
Sure. You can find me on Instagram at VocalFryEli, as well as Twitter at A Ghost of Eli. You can find Mayday Roleplay on Twitter at Mayday Roleplay, as well as our website at MaydayRoleplay.com. And we're also on Twitch as Mayday Roleplay. So anywhere, just type in Mayday Roleplay, you'll be able to find us easy enough. And we're wherever you get your podcasts. And hopefully you come to enjoy what we're working on. And
people can find our podcasts on social media as well. We have an Instagram account, DoubleDM. We also have a Twitter account, DoubleDM. And we are also to be found on anywhere you get your podcasts. So if you're listening to this, you already know that, but I still shout that out every time.
Still working on that Deezer podcast and Google podcast thing.
But we will get that fixed. Also, I wanted to shout out after this episode that we now, when this episode airs, have officially opened our own Discord server.
Ooh.
Where we will do all the rest of scheduling with people, get discussions on with people, and basically have a good time. Yeah, you can probably find that already in our link tree, and there will probably also be a Twitter post about it when we've opened it. Check that out. And first of all, thanks, Eli, for being here. It was amazing to talk to you.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I put that call out to get people interested in maybe starring or guesting on the podcast. And like, you were one of the first people to reply to that. And I was actually quite honored because, like, we have not interacted that much on Twitter, but I've always seen you around, and like, it's just amazing to see people from all kinds of all places of the internet interact with each other and collaborate on stuff like this with each other.
I'm really enjoying the TTRPG solidarity stuff that's going through Twitter right now. So it's been really great connecting with so many different people and the awesome projects they've been working on, and trying to support as many people as I can.
it's amazing with what kind of people I get to interact with through the whole day. It's just amazing to see all these different people from all over the world and have discussions and things work together and stuff. I've told Niels about every episode. Like, I can talk about that for 4 hours straight without ever stopping, really, because I've met so many amazing people, and I just want to talk about
them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With the start of this podcast, I just dove right into the whole TTRPG community stuff on Discord and Twitter and stuff like that. I'm still massively overwhelmed by it. Mm-hmm. I can't fathom what is happening every time. So, yeah, it's a lot, but it's great. I love it.
Yeah. This was episode 9 of Double DM Podcast, of our first mini series, which will be about this mini series about not only music and ambience, but again in general enhancing your game in some way with things you as a DM can add on top of your game. That title still needs some work, I have just realized.
Yeah.
I would say join us next week for our 10th episode, which will be about German folklore. We have already decided, I think.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we wanted to do a lot about folklore and inspiration for games. So we will start with our own folklore, which is probably the easiest one for us.
Yeah, but probably one of the darkest anyway. So, well.
Yeah, so find out next week at 8 p.m. CET again. See you guys next week. Stay awesome. And again, thanks, Eli, for being here.
No problem. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks. Have a good one.